two, three, four, five. Tuesday, January 5th, 1971. Day of cabinet meeting. Our first of the new plan of having bi-weekly meetings at 8 o'clock in the morning, lasting for just an hour. The president carried this one on for an hour and a half because he's just not able to convince himself that you can hold the thing to an hour and keep everybody happy. It went very well in any event. The vice president opened the meeting after the group gave the president a standing round of applause because of his TV last night. And the vice president launched into quite a laudatory statement regarding the television. And then the president discussed that some. He told the cabinet he's going to make a new troop announcement on April 15th, and then launched into some views on the economy, made the point that his kids had not been terribly impressed with the TV, and that they preferred press conferences, that Eddie Cox had called Tricia, and the president identified him as a Harvard Law type and said, "I doubt if those Harvard Law types understood any more of what I was saying about the economy last night than I did." Then he referred to Wilson as the most intellectual of all presidents and said, of course, that was because of his education, or perhaps in spite of it. Then he said, who knows what Lincoln might have been if he'd gone to school. It probably would have ruined him. He told the cabinet to funnel any ideas they have regarding presidential TV appearances to me, that he wants suggestions on this subject. He then led them into quite a discussion of the economy, which lasted about an hour. He hit the theory that there is no formula for low unemployment without war, and said that this is the one thing we are going to accomplish, and it will be a marvelous achievement. He raised the point of the possibility of further changes in the cabinet and said there would be no more at the president's request, that this is the team that we have here now, unless any of you decide you want to leave. In referring to the deficit, he said, that's what I used to talk about before I understood these things. He made the point regarding the need for selling revenue sharing, said it would have to be the most concerted selling effort ever, and everyone would have to get into it whole hog. He told them a drastic reorganization was coming up in the State of the Union, that it would be very traumatic. Ehrlichman intervened to tell them not to say anything about it, and that there must be an absolute lid on this whole business because the president must move first on these changes. The president warned them not to start a backfire on reorganization because the decision's already made, and referred to the new plans as being the first new model in government in 100 years. Elliot Richardson got into a discussion of how we can better influence commentators and opinion leaders to give them a better feel for the depth and range of the president's knowledge and understanding, for example, of economics. He was making the point that people would be greatly enlightened if they could see the president in action the way the cabinet just had this morning. He felt we have to use more ingenuity to get a better understanding in depth, at least among key people. And there was some discussion of meetings with editorial boards of Fortune, Kiplinger, Business Week, and so forth, to sell them and get them to go out and sell others. The president concluded by saying he'd tell them a story that he had planned to tell last night on TV that he had developed for Severide, but Severide was so profound he didn't give me time to say it. After the cabinet meeting, the president had a series of appointments that kept him busy through the rest of the morning, and we left about 12:20 for the airport and on to San Clemente. When he came in this morning before the cabinet meeting, he was obviously very tired and had hardly any sleep last night, and he really showed it. When he got aboard the plane, he apparently had a couple Bloody Marys, and when he called me up shortly after takeoff, he was pretty relaxed. He decided he wanted to stop at Lincoln, Nebraska on the way back from California to present their football team with a plaque for being number one, and then for him to make a speech at a university convocation. He feels it's a good chance to give a speech playing on the theme of the 18-year-old vote and their new participation in politics. And he wants not to give a speech on dissent, but rather one bringing the challenge to them of playing the game to win, fighting hard, learning to lose and to win. That Nebraska was this kind of team. They'd never been number one before, but they'd never quit. And that this is the kind of spirit that keeps the country going, etc. He also wants to make the point of his European friends, quote, that America's problem is war, but Europe's problem is peace, and that peace is not as easy as it sounds. We have to have great goals and great purposes, and so forth. He also mentioned he had talked to Ambassador Freeman this morning about the possibility of the president going on a two-on-one interview with BBC and the Independent Network in Britain, which he's intrigued with pursuing. He discussed general plans for 71, wants to use this as the year to fill the canvas, as he puts it. We can do all we want now, and if there's any objection to overactivity on the TV, etc., we can refer back to the bitching earlier when they said the president wasn't doing enough. We should use this year to hit all the leadership and image things that we feel we need to do. He asked me to call Connolly and have a long talk with him about his views on our PR needs, and also to get an analysis of the president's television last night. He also wanted me to call Jim Shepley and ask for the agency commission on the plug the president gave Life last night, and then hit them on the unfairness that Life has been showing towards us, and see if he thinks it would be productive to have a meeting of the Time, Life, and Fortune editors. He completely approved my request to slip out to Palm Springs and try and get some work done for the next few days. So I left very shortly after we got to San Clemente. And I'm over at Smoke Tree with Chapin, hopefully for the rest of the week. End of January 5th.